I have a message today that's kind of like, it's a message of hope. We've all been concerned about what's going on in the nation, and there's a lot of doomsday stuff going around. There's a lot of people, even Christians, that are really upset and getting worried about everything, including me. In fact, I spoke from the pulpit. It's because God has been illuminating to the prophets. God never does anything unless he reveals it to his prophets. And there are prophets all over this nation that realize that the sins that have taken place in the United States in the last 20 or 30 years, sin brings forth death. And we see tremendous destruction happening in families and communities, to the place where the politicians don't seem to have any kind of answers. The psychologists don't have any answers. Nobody has any answers. But yet there is one who has the answers, and that's God. But how do we bring all of this together? How do we reconcile the fact that we're loving God, we're serving God, and we're in the United States of America, and this is our land also? How do we reconcile the idea that all of what's going on here with a God in heaven who still cares about us? What are we to do, and how do these things culminate in history? Because history always shows the pattern of how God deals with his nation or nations that turn from him. And if you read in the Old Testament, you're going to find that Israel, every time they turned from God, God ended up giving them over to their sins, and then another nation would come in, and another system would come in, or they'd have famines, and they'd have all kinds of problems, and what would it do? It would bring them to their knees. They would seek after God, and God would hear from heaven, and he would send a deliverer. That is what it's all about. And when you think in the grand scheme of the whole earth today, if there's ever a need for a true deliverer to come, there is one today in the whole world, because no other gods are doing anything about bringing peace on this earth, no matter how much all of the other religions are praying to their gods. It seems there's nothing but death and destruction and famine and earthquakes and all kinds of things that are even upsetting us Christians. But there is a deliverer. I'm here to tell you that there's a deliverer. The deliverer will come to Zion. There's a deliverer who came to set the whole world free. Everyone on this earth from sin, for those who believe. Because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he sent his only son into this world. He gave his only son that we might become the righteousness of God to those who believe in him. So the deliverer is here. But the question is, what's going to happen in our nation in the next 6 months to a year to 2 years? The prophets have been prophesying that something is going to happen. Rabbi Jonathan Cahn is a messianic rabbi. He's got the whole country concerned because he's showing from the Jewish scriptures that some of these things could be possibly taking place. But I just know I'm a Gentile. I could take a look at the economic situation in the United States and just from a financial background realize that this nation's in trouble with the $20 trillion of debt and all of the problems and all of the promises that we find from our politicians to want to create more programs and give away more money. I mean, where are you going to get all this money from? Print it? So therefore, they're pushing and kicking the can down the road. But the Christians, I've got some hope for you today. That's why I've got a message for you. And it's entitled, "When All Hope Is Gone, Seek the God of All Hope." I find this scripture, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It's the Apostle Paul who wrote this. And this is what he wrote. And it's uncanny, but he wrote it to the Romans. And he's going to Rome to be able to go ahead and give an account for his faith, because he appealed to Caesar. But this is what he writes. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And that's the word of the Lord to America, church, the church in America today. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." But then you might say, "But Pastor, look at what's going on in the world. Look at all the doom and the gloom that the prophets are prophesying." Well, I say, let's look to the scriptures and see how, in the middle of all of the messes, even when the ships are sinking, that we're going to see where God is truly concerned. where his concern is, either with the people in the ship or the ship itself. And even though the ship might sink, we're going to see that God cares more about the souls than he does about the ship. He cares more about the people than he does the system. And if the system is broke because they turned away from God, if our economic cycle in the United States of America is broken because we turned away from God and greed has replaced integrity and character and trusting in God, then God can do something. He saves souls. He might not save the system. The political system cannot possibly be redeemed if they've turned God away from the system unless they would pray. And hopefully that will happen. But even if the system sinks, it doesn't matter because we have the God of all hope. And if God has promised in his word that he never leave us nor forsake us, then we have nothing to fear. But we've got some work to do and we're going to see that. Let's look into the story which most of us are familiar with in the book of Acts. I'm laughing because the Holy Spirit is just upon me and I feel the joy of the Lord. I feel like the Holy Spirit saying, preach it, preacher. I just feel the joy of the Lord. But I've been praying for the last 3 months. What do we do, God? Do we just store up, you know, for the next 3 years and, you know, take all the money out of the banks? And you know, it might be smart to go ahead and have a 30-day supply or something if something definitely happens. But I got news for you. If the system breaks down to the place where there's nothing but chaos in the streets, we're on Long Island here, okay? We're having a real problem. We better buy a couple of 747s and fly with Nick and Lorraine to Florida. You know, we got some problems getting off this island if the system broke down, the economic system broke down, there were no trucks here. So I'll tell you right now that a 30-day supply is a wise thing. But let me tell you, if this thing broke down for 6 months to 8 months, as some people are saying, I got news for you. You better get a hold of God. And that's where I was left. I said, God, it's impossible. What are we going to do? I'm the pastor here. What do we do? He said, son, look into the word of God. And when I went up to Countersport and I heard the preacher preach, he confirmed what God showed me. That he says, anytime I bring correction to a nation, anytime my nation, the people of God, I always have a plan for them. I always have a plan. It's the same plan. If my people will humble themselves, if a called by a name will humble themselves and fast and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And even if the system is broken and the ship sinks in America as far as our economic system and our political system, there's a God in heaven who can feed us if he has to by ravens. He can feed us that way. He can even have my bunny rabbit come out of hiding and kind of like bring me some food and peanut butter and jelly. I see some great things in the Word of God. Maybe it's why we haven't seen the supernatural power of Jesus working in America. Because we've been relying too much on flesh, on human nature. We've been going to church, but we're not praying. We're not fasting. We're not using the name of Jesus like we should. We're trusting in the uncertainty of riches. And we build huge churches and it's wonderful. But how are you going to feed all those people if there's no system and if you can't even use money because there is nothing to buy? You need some supernatural power of God to multiply whatever you got. And God can do these things. But let's look here. I feel excited. I love the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's for all of us, not just we preachers. Acts chapter 27, verses 20 to 26. We're going to read these things and stop along the way. And I'll show you some of the things that God had showed me. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's taken, he's bound, he's on a prison ship. And they're on their way to Rome. Paul warns them, listen, I don't think you should set sail. It was kind of like getting late in the season, and the storms in the Mediterranean Sea can be absolutely tremendously bad. But they didn't listen to him anyhow, and they set sail. And all of a sudden, they start coming into tremendous storms. And this is where we break into the story here. There's 276 individuals on this ship. The majority of them are prisoners, and they're in chains, and they're in bondage. And there's guards on there, a few. We don't know how many, but we do know that there were a lot of people on this ship. It was a large ship. When neither sun nor stars appeared, verse 20, for many days, and the storm continued raging, We finally gave up all hope of being saved. Some of you out here, you've been in a storm in your own life personally, and you've gotten to the place where you feel it's all hope is gone. It's just gone. But then if you take an inventory of what you're losing, what are you really losing? Number one, you're not losing your life. I mean, the ship might go down, but you're still alive. God's promised he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Your marriage might have been destroyed. Your kids might not be serving God, but your life isn't destroyed. Why are you giving up hope? But here, in this mess of a storm, the Bible says, meaning Paul, everybody on that ship, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. They did everything possible to try to save the ship. But when the storm is just going on and going on, by the way, it was going on for 14 days. I'm a boater, and I can tell you right now, the storms come and go. They might last a day or maybe 2 days. But when a storm is lasting 14 days, even hurricanes are fast. They go by in a couple of hours. 14 days. They got to the place where they felt there was no hope. And that's when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, son, he said, in America, it seems like there's no hope. There seems to be no answer. There seems to be no one being able to come forward that's a politician to solve these problems. That's the only reason why individuals that are not necessarily politicians are doing so well in polls. Because the pulse of America, the heartbeat of America right now is in critical stage. It's like the blood pressure and the stress is so high in the consciousness of the nation. Who's going to come and fix this? I see a great setup for a revival to take place. I'm going to show you why. You see, storms come upon even our lives as Christians. And in the spirit world, they can last even longer than 14 days. You go through a divorce, I'll tell you, that's a storm that's not going to last even after the paper is signed and you get the divorce. Oh, you feel free. You feel like, wow. But no, it isn't, because the heart takes a long time to heal. Even if you're not married, if you were in a relationship with somebody and you love them with all your heart and then they reject you, part of your heart is gone. And even though people come around and say, well, listen, there's plenty of fish in the sea. You go, yeah, but I didn't want all the fish. I just wanted that one. That's the one I gave my life to. That's the one I gave my blood to. That's the one I gave my emotions to and my body to. That's the one that I committed to. That's the one I joined with. And it hurts. And these storms can last for months. They can last even for years. But there is a God of all hope that we Christians can go to and recognize that the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit will flood our hearts and our hearts can heal. Hearts do heal, just like finally the storm settled down. But they had lost all hope. So all these prisoners, they were probably praying to their gods, and it's over with. We've lost all hope. We're just waiting for the boat to go down, and that's it. We're going to drown. But the Apostle Paul, in verse 22, he said, I urge you all to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. And that's when the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, yes, son, your country is in dire trouble. And it's bankrupt spiritually, and it's bankrupt monetarily. They're just printing money. And that's where we've all been at. But Paul says to this whole ship, and it's like God saying to America, he's saying, America, I urge you to keep your courage, church in America, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. You see, we might have gotten to the place where we can never, ever see all of Congress praising and worshiping God like they did for over 100 and something years. We may never see the court systems really honor God and God we trust. We may never see them swearing on the Bible like they did since the foundation of this nation. That ship might be destroyed, but it doesn't mean that the souls are going to be totally destroyed. It doesn't mean that at all. And this is where I'm heading now. And this is what the Holy Ghost showed me. Verse 23, last night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. You see, Paul was in the will of God. How can this be? He lets me on a prison ship for 14 days. Well, consider what the storm did. It brought even the Apostle Paul to the place where he probably was not like the rest of them. He said, well, I guess God, you don't want me to go to Rome. You're taking me home. And he was probably just going to go ahead and sing songs, you know, and sing the Psalms until he drowned. But he prayed, and God visited him and said, no, Paul. No, I've got something further for you to do. And God's saying that to the American church, that we're not to give up hope. We're not to go ahead and just head for the hills. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go on Long Island? You try to hoard too much stuff in your house. I got news for you. When people are hungry, man, they'll be breaking down your doors looking for something. You're going to need some supernatural power, but guess what? God is a supernatural God. Let me tell you, we're going to see that it took God's power and strength to be able to go ahead and get these 76 people and keep them alive so that Paul can go to Rome, even though the ship is going to sink and be destroyed. Maybe we're praying the wrong way in America. Maybe we're praying that God would save Congress and save the political system and save Wall Street and save these things. Maybe they don't want to be saved. In fact, they don't want to be saved. They refuse to retain God in their knowledge. They threw God out of the whole knowledge system in America from kindergarten through college. And what did we expect from these things to happen? But that was the message last month. So we're going, uh-oh, we're in trouble. But what's it do? It brings us to the prayer closet. Why do you think they came up with this movie, The War Room, which was the number one movie in America? It's amazing. A Christian movie coming up from nowhere with a $3.5 million budget. Now it's over 30-something million dollars that they took in, which allows them to make more Christian films. I don't recommend movies, but I would recommend that because it has to do with prayer. And I believe in the power of prayer. By the end of that movie, you're going to go, we need to pray. We need to pray, not because just judgment's coming, but this whole movie is about the idea of changing the circumstances through the power of prayer and not giving up hope. But really, when you're in a desperate situation, you can get a hold of God, grab a hold of the horns of the altar, and begin to pray and seek God's face. Like Hannah prayed and prayed and prayed, and she looked so much in distress that the prophet thought that she was drunk. She said, no, I'm not drunk. I just want a son, and I'm barren. And let me tell you, when you're in a sinking ship with 276 people, and believe me, doesn't say they had showers on there. The smell must have been horrendous. And they're all panicking, calling on their gods. And God comes with an angel and tells Paul, listen, no loss of life is going to happen here. Verse 25 again, so keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen, just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Oh, man. It's like, nevertheless. In other words, think of it. Hey, none of you are going to die, but it could be some rough going a little bit. You won't be able to go to a McDonald's and get a Big Mac, maybe. Okay? But you'll have enough food to eat. And this is the good thing. This is the supernatural power of God. What? And this is the question I want to pose to you right now. What was the response of all of the individuals that were in this ship of many different religions, including the captain of the guard and the guards? When Paul said this, they had no other option. They had no other option. The only one that was talking faith was the one who went in the secret place with God and got a hold of God, and God said, no one on this ship will die. No one. And by the way, the ship wasn't filled with Christians. So if we think that only the Christians are going to go ahead and have the provision of God in American society. You're wrong. And why is that? It's because when the ship sinks, what will happen is the church will pull together. Like the church has done through generation and generation, since ever since Peter stood up under the power of the Holy Spirit and said, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. That we will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not with head knowledge, not pump and fill of people full of false hope, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to see the miracles of God to the place where people will believe again. They will see that God is truly with us, and God is in that place because they'll see the miracle working power of God. He is our provision. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, the scripture says, nor is seed begging for bread. And we will not be begging for bread in America because God can increase the bread. He can increase these things. If he can take a little boy's fishes and loaves, and he can tell the people to bless it and then hand it out, it keeps being multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. He's going to break down this whole idea that God doesn't do miracles today in the land anymore. He's going to absolutely mesmerize the Baptists and the Methodists who don't believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today. He's going to mesmerize the backslidden Pentecostals who preach it but don't demonstrate it. He's just going to go ahead and move. Why? Because the crisis brings the Christ. The crisis always brings the Christ to come in. The deliverer will come from Zion, and he will come. He will come and shout as lion, like a lion would shout from heaven. He will come and he will deliver. Hallelujah. That's what he does. Let me ask you something right now. This is a simple question. It's like a crossword puzzle. No, it isn't. It's kind of like, just answer the question. It's logic and reasoning. Okay? I'm trying to see what I see. It's funny, the Holy Spirit said, no, it's not a crossword puzzle. But this is it. Okay? What do saviors do? There you go. What do saviors do? Save. Do you think America needs to be saved? Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. They don't even know where. They don't even know where they're at. The ship is going to sink, but no one's going to lose their life. And I believe the prophets in America are going to go ahead and give this word. You see, when God got our attention a couple of months ago and the prophets started prophesying through visions that America was to be judged, America is going to be judged. The whole world's going to be judged. Jesus is the judge and he's coming back. But the United States of America was the bastion of Christianity for nearly 200 years, and America sent out missionaries all over the world. We're kind of even like Israel, where in the early church where the Gentile churches were saying, you know what, you know, Israel, you know, God's done with them. And Paul said in Romans, he said, God's not done with the Jew yet. He's not done. The reason why the Jews rejected the gospel is so that the gospel could go to the Gentiles. But then at the end of the time, the gospel would be preached to the Jews. And many of them, all Israel, Paul said, would be saved. Now, that's questionable as to whether it's all the Israel that existed at that time or all Israel, those who really put faith in the Messiah. But we know no one can be born again unless you accept Christ. Jews got to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, just as the Gentiles. But the most important thing is that God fulfills his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we Gentiles are part of the seed of Abraham. And God will not desert us. He will not desert us, but he will bring us to a place where we will pray. And we will fast, and we will need each other, and we will pull together. And I see in the spirit right now these denominational signs and all the signs on the churches just melting down. And there's only going to be one sign that's going to be shown, and that is a sign of the Son of Man coming, breaking through the clouds of glory. But until that time comes, we will see Christians getting together. And we will say, are you a Christian? Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray. We'll be praying in the streets, but God will be doing miracles and healings. More than we ever saw, even in the great charismatic movement back in the late 60s and early 70s, when I saw so many healings and miracles happen, it was absolutely astounding. But we were a simple bunch back then. We knew nothing but a few scriptures, but we had the power of the living God within us, and we had the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, Jesus gave us his name. He said, ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And let me tell you something, you got no food in your house, and you're getting hungry that day, all you've got to say, Jesus, You know, we're getting hungry now. Lord, could you kind of like do something? And the Lord says, sure, what do you want me to do? And Lord, you turn like, you know, took some fishes and some bread, and you just kept multiplying that stuff. I don't got any fishes and bread, but I got some lasagna. Lord, can you multiply the lasagna, Lord? Can you go ahead and take my 5 meatballs? And Lord, I got neighbors that are hungry. I want to give each one 2 meatballs, Lord. I need 50 meatballs. May it done according to your faith. You laugh at that. His mother said, hey, we're at a wedding. They ran out of wine, Jesus. Come on, you do something. And of course, Jesus says, it's not my time yet. And his mother, just like a good mother, says, well, you know, didn't say anything to Jesus. He just said to the servant, do whatever he tells you to do. And she walked back to the wedding. So, of course, Jesus said, oh, okay, go get those pots and fill them with water. And, of course, it was the best wine for the whole time. Some people would say, what is the significance of that? Well, number, honor your father and your mother. He was honoring his mother. And number two, it's recorded as the first miracle in the Bible. He changed water into wine. That's a miracle. Okay? That's not like, well, I think I got healed of my headache. No, no. That's like getting healed of cancer, or a kid who had no ears can hear for the first time, or a kid who's never walked before. And the Holy Spirit says to Roseanne, you know, call him up to you. Come. And all of a sudden, he's walking. Come on. I believe that we're going to see the greatest revival that we've ever seen in America. And it's not because we're so wonderful. It's because in the middle of a crisis, those who pray to Christ, he comes. Because saviors save. They save. Well, Paul's got all their attention. They realize we're going to lose the ship. Okay, I don't care about the ship anymore. I care about my life. There are going to be people on Wall Street and in government who say, you know something? I don't care about this system no more. I'm a congressman. I'm supposed to be caring for people. Not caring for my millionaire friends. Not caring just for me. Having my shelters that I can fly to anytime and leave the rest of this nation. No, I believe that true individuals will be raised up and realize, what have we done? What have we done? And in that sobriety of spirit, they will call out on God. Some will have to say, will the real God please come? No problem in that. Allah's not going to come to them. Muhammad's not going to come. Buddha's not going to come. I can tell you that right now because in 1974, I tried every one of those gods and I called on their name when I was at my crisis stage. None of them came. And then when I got to Jesus, why did I put him last? Well, because I started with Jesus in the Catholic Church and I figured, you know, I just didn't get to know him then. But when I came around to him, I gave him his chance. And I said, Jesus, if you are the real God, I didn't realize he was the Son of God, but he's still God. I said, if you're the real God, then show me. And a little inner voice said, I am. Then I read later on in the Bible, he says, I am that I am. But the first two words I got were, I am. I said, okay, well, if you are, I need help. You got every reason to send me to hell. The way I've lived my life. But God, if you give me one more chance, I don't want to go to hell. But you got every reason to send me to hell. That was my prayer. Because I was already messed up with demon spirits and I knew the devil was real. That's a subject for another story. Many of you heard parts of my testimony. But within the next month, I began to bump into Christians. And the favor of God came on my life. And somebody invited us to church, where I heard the gospel. And that morning I accepted Christ, but I was still demon-possessed. And then after church in the back of the parking lot, there was a guy praying for one of my organ player's girlfriend. I heard him be set free. I said, when you're done with her, could you pray for me? I'm still hearing these voices and everything. You know, I don't feel free. He goes, I'll pray for you. And then he prayed for me. And the third time he said in the name of Jesus, speaking in tongues. I thought he was from another country. But he was speaking in a heavenly language, and then he said, out in the name of Jesus. And boom, the third time. I went, oh! He went, what happened? Kind of like you, Roseanne. Like, he says, really? I said, I'm free. He said, what do you mean you're free? I said, this weight on my head's gone. And the first thing I did was I went outside, and I hugged a tree. And I'm looking at the tree. I can see. I'm standing there like 6 inches from a tree. And he said to the girl, is he okay? Is he on acid? Is he flipped out? I started jumping up and down. I can see. And of course, he says, is he blind? Was he blind? No. I said, I can see. I'm free. He said, well, that's a good thing. He said, but you got to get in here because, you know, we got to use wisdom. Because there were a lot of people that were unsaved in the park. I was a musician. I don't care. We're exhibitionists. You just take a look at Miley Cyrus and all these other people just out there. They do the most outlandish things. So a musician to jump around and sing and dance, you know, at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning outside of a church in a parking lot, you know, to me, I didn't care. I was free. I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit that night, but I saw the power of God. And God is showing me that we're going to see this again. Why? Because of the crisis. You ever talk to some of your friends about Jesus? They go, oh, no, I don't hear that again. I never heard that when I was first saved and I witnessed to somebody. They went like this. As I just started talking to them, and God would open their hearts. And I could say, ooh, you know what? Somebody's been praying for you. Oh, I could say, wow. And they're going, how do you know these things? And some of them that were really stoned and drunk would say, are you an angel? I go, let me tell you, I'm not an angel. I said, I just met God. I said, I'm here to tell you that God is real. And God would say, son, whatever you want me to do, whatever you say, I will do it. Why? Not for me. To convince these people. And in the street, I saw hundreds of individuals delivered and saved, set free by the power of Jesus Christ. And I will admit to you, I haven't seen these things happen. But the day is coming again. I prayed to God before you take me home. God, I want to see it again. I want to see what I saw when I was young. I want to see what all of us ministers that were saved and baptized, all my friends that got saved became preachers of the gospel. Every one of my friends got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and did the same thing I did. And a lot of them are better preachers than I am and have bigger churches than I'll ever have. And I don't care. I just know I was once lost, but now I'm found. But what about you? And what about America? And this is the way we're going to finish this up, this message here. So what happens? Read the rest of the story, but this is what truly happens. These 14 days that they spent brought them to a crisis situation where there was no way out. And Jesus said the world, upon the world, was coming a time when the world would have no way out. There'd be no answers to the problems in society. There'd be no answers from the politicians, the doctors, the psychologists, the sociologists would not have an answer for the ills that have taken place on American soil. They will not have the answer, but Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. And when people, we are brought to a place of such crisis when the church prays, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon us and the needs of individuals will be met supernaturally. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I just happen to believe the Bible. So Paul says this in the captain of the guard. Let me finish the story because it's getting late here. The captain of the guard, all of a sudden they realized, wow, you know, they did some soundings and they found out, hey, we're coming near the land somewhere. They couldn't see it, but they said, we're getting near it. It's getting shallower and shallower. So they go ahead and they start unloading the boat. And what happened was some of the prisoners, they went out and they were trying to go ahead and, you know, kind of put the anchors out and stuff like that. And make a long story short, the guard said, you know what? We got to kill all these prisoners. We're responsible for them. They'd be running all over the island. And we won't be able to, you know, we're going to have our heads. Paul said, you can't do that. The word of the Lord said that none would be lost. You can't kill them. You see, in the crisis situation, even the captain of the guard, who happened to be a Roman soldier, centurion. And it's amazing, but the United States is a republic just like Rome. And the American system of economy is just like Rome, where they allowed for the tolerance of many religions. Except for Christianity was the big one persecuted all the time. The Jews, they were doing all right under the Rome, in the sense that they just played business with them. But the problem with the Christians were, we worshiped another king. Even though we would give Caesar what was due Caesar, we could not say that Caesar had more authority than King Jesus. The same thing that's happening in America today with the court systems that are causing Christians to say, well, listen, if you will not obey the new laws that we created, which nullify the laws of God, then you lose your job. You can't buy or sell unless you receive the mark of the beast in this nation. That's the way the devil would be setting it up. And what is the mark of the beast? It's the ability to have, you know, it's kind of like just compromising so that you can have enough money to be able to live rather than trust God. Well, the Christians in the early century, hey, they were thrown to the lions, they were crucified, used as Roman candles because of their faith. But I saw something in here. I saw that when finally America is brought to its knees, who's going to be able to call on what God? Everybody will be calling on the gods. Well, Buddha didn't believe he was God. They worship his God, but he said, I'm not God. I have some truth. Buddha never said he had a lot of truth. I studied Buddhism. I was into that for a while. I got demon-possessed, but that's another story because demons are into that stuff, chanting and stuff. But Hinduism, they got a million gods. I mean, you know, they'd be calling on God until Jesus got back. They wouldn't get through all their gods. Everything is a god. They have millions of gods. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just telling you, they got millions of gods. None of them answer. We need the God that answers by fire. We need the God who's going to come down and say, yes, here I am. I am the deliverer and I will deliver you. I am a savior. I'm not a fake. I'm not a phony. You don't have to go to college 4 years to get saved. You just got to believe in me, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because I'm coming back to this earth. That's what he says. So they're all saying, what do we do, Paul? He's got their attention, and he says this in verse 33. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you've been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. That's a pretty dire place. First of all, half the men probably were seasick anyhow and didn't want to eat anything. But they did what Paul said, including the captain of the guard. Because Paul said, listen, if you do not follow my instructions totally, then I can't guarantee that the word of the Lord is going to be fulfilled. You must stay and not kill any of these. None of the prisoners. Everyone will live, but follow my instructions as I got them from the Holy Ghost. Isn't that true about the church? Don't compromise the word of God. Obey the word of God. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Don't question things. Just start praying and see these things begin to happen more and more and more. It might take a little while to get going because you've had such lack of faith. But maybe some prayer and fasting has to come back into the church. Let me just give you some commentary on the number 14, and I think it'll blow your mind, and then we'll close in prayer, and we'll be praying for this nation. But what about the number 14? This morning, after I had my message done last night, I got it done by about 10 o'clock, okay? And the Lord said, I got an addendum I want to put on. I want you to look up the number 14, because the 14 days that they were in crisis situation, what happens? Paul says, listen, you got to eat. So what did he do? He took the bread, and he broke it, and he gave thanks to God, his God. And all 276 of these individuals ate of the bread. You talk about a time where God got the attention in a crisis situation with the ship sinking, that every single person, every heathen, was listening to the man of God. He got their attention, and they obeyed, and they ate. The story goes that not one of them was lost. They all ended up going to the island, and Paul did tremendous miracles in this particular island. I believe, that it doesn't say, but I believe that many of them became Christians, probably even the Roman, who finally delivered Paul to Rome. And what was Paul going there for? To give his life. He knew that he was going to become a martyr, but he wanted to preach the gospel there. Verse 36, all were encouraged, ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 on board. It's amazing. The number 14, there are 14 places in the book of Proverbs that says the fear of the Lord. It occurs 14 times. Let me tell you, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But not only that, in a crisis situation where you have no hope and you turn to God, I can guarantee you that God brings a reverent fear where you acknowledge him as your creator and your savior. He is the only source that can save you even if the ship is sinking. And then we find, here's some additional things about the number 14. It represents deliverance or salvation. It's used 22 times in the Bible. The term 14th is found 24 times in scriptures. And listen to this. The 14th day of the first month is Passover, when God delivered the firstborn of Israel from death. And then some 430 years earlier, on the night of the 14th of the first month, God made two covenant promises to Abraham. One of the physical seed, Isaac, and his descendants, and one of the spiritual seed, that's us. Jesus Christ and the sons of God would come forth from him, who would shine like the stars of heaven. And on the day portion of the 14th, God confirmed the promises with a special covenant sacrifice. And then it was on the 14th day of the first month in 30 AD that Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, the only begotten Son of God, the Father, and the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, was crucified as the perfect sacrifice to save mankind from sin. Let me tell you something. The number 14 and why the Holy Ghost put the 14 days in there is absolutely to show that deliverance comes in spite of the idea that the ship is sinking. So I prophesy to you that revival will come. It's not that God's going to save the American system. That ship is sinking. They caused it to sink. They're the ones who drilled the holes in the bottom of the boat. Because they threw out the chief engineer and they thought that by doing what they did and getting rid of the knowledge of God that they could build a better country. But they failed in doing it. So even though the ship might sink, you will see Christ's church arise. First, the judgment will come to the house of the Lord. The church will stop with this all this nonsense of Jesus goes to Hollywood stuff. And we'll start getting on our hands and knees and crying out to God in the secret place. And first it'll begin because we'll see miracles in our own family. Our loved ones will get saved because they'll see the power of God. Just like these 275 heathen that were seeing the power of God demonstrated through the Apostle Paul as he would not compromise the word of God, as he would not go ahead and shame his God, even though all hope in humanity was lost. He was serving the God of all hope. And I leave you with this scripture in Romans 15:13. We started with it. You should put this on your refrigerator door. He wrote it to the Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit within you. I want you to stand to your feet with me right now. I want you to say, hey, man, I like that message. I want you to say, God is a God of hope. And even though the ship might be sinking in America, I'm not going to fear anything. For my God is able to supply my needs according to his riches and glory. I just got to stop believing. Hallelujah. I'm believing that God's going to go ahead and multiply my ziti. He's going to take my meatballs and he's going to just, as I hand them out, they're going to just keep on spreading. You go, that's ridiculous. It's in the Bible. Jesus fed 5,000 one time, 3,000 another time. And believe me, the people who saw that realized, you know what? This stuff can happen again. He fed a prophet with a raven who would come when he was hungry. He fed him with a raven. Praise God. I don't know what was in the raven's mouth, but if God sends, you know, an eagle to me, I'm going to say, Lord, could it be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but could you use Welch's grape jam? And he'll probably laugh. Okay, I'll turn it into Welch's grape jam if that's what you want. Why? Because we're the children of God. Haven't we had our heads down low enough? Haven't we been drilled into the mud so far in the United States of America? Hasn't the name of Jesus Christ been slandered by the Hollywood comedians? Hasn't the name of Jesus Christ been used in profanity and vanity? And hasn't the name of Jesus Christ been so used in such a way that one day I believe it'll provoke the church to begin to use the name of Jesus as it should have been used? In my name, they will cast out demons and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And all of our children and all of our mates that are not filled with the Holy Ghost will begin to pray in the secret place and see these things change. Why? It's because the war is in the heavenlies. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against powers and principalities and wicked spirits in the high places. But we can cast down these imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the name of Jesus Christ by using His name. And say it with me right now, and I want you to say it with fervor. In the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
That was pretty good. Try it again. In the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Didn't that feel good? I want you to try this. Practice it. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Be thou made whole.
Be thou made whole.
Now I want you to say it quietly, because it's not the tone of the voice that happens. It's the power. It's the confidence. In the name of Jesus. Be thou made whole. Because sometimes you got to do it quietly. Especially if you're in the hospital and everybody's sleeping, you know. You don't want to wake up everybody. Let the one that gets healed jump up and shout and run down. And then the nurses go, what happened? I don't know. Ask that person. And the person goes, I don't know. All I know is I was crippled, but now I can walk. I was blind, but I can see. And we will get the attention of the lost in America. And that is the key. God's not caring so much about the system. He's not caring about the ship as He's caring more about the souls. And it's not just the Christian soul in America. Because remember, God so loved the world. So all of your friends that are not saved, and you've been trying so hard to witness to them, and it seems like the heavens are brass and nothing's happening. When crises happens, it brings everyone to their knees. There are no atheists in foxholes. Everybody's looking for the loophole. Everybody will be looking for some kind of a loophole. And we probably wouldn't be able to store enough food, because Jess and I were thinking about it. Because I told her, I said, listen, I can't hoard food, because if somebody knocked on my door, I'd feed them. So, and I know what would happen. It'd be like the pigeons. I started with four. I started trying to catch these pigeons to relocate them. And they told their brothers and sisters, and now I got a whole army of pigeons. And no matter how many I catch, I have more, because they're going through the neighborhood. Hey, there's a guy feeding this down there. You know, just stay away from the gates of the thing. I don't hurt the pigeons. I relocate them. Maybe they're finding a way back. I don't know. But my point is this. You couldn't store enough food to be able to feed everybody on Long Island. But God could cause miracles to happen. Absolutely miracles, where He say, listen, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I will give you in the name of Jesus. Walk. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, here's some bread. And then you go back to your closet, and all of a sudden it's whatever you gave away, it was multiplied again. Do I believe that? Yeah. Why? Because we're going to need it. And you don't believe it now, you're going to be hoping it's true when everything falls apart in America. But I'm holding my head up high, because I serve a God of hope. Can you say amen? I want you to shout Jesus on the count of three. Let the devil know that he's defeated. 1, 2, 3. Jesus!